Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. Welcome back to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on SiriusXM, the Catholic Channel 129. I'm Kevin Clark, here with Father Matt Malone and Father Jim Martin, our editor-at-large from America Magazine. You can always visit America Magazine at americamagazine.org. We're talking about Martin Scorsese's masterpiece, which I believe will be, you can check it out this week at your, hopefully at your local neighborhood theater, Silence. And Jim, what do you think, what do you think Scorsese was trying to do? Was he exercising some demons of his own in producing this film? I mean, what kept him at it for 30 years?
Well, the novel by Shusaku Endo grabbed him in 1989. He was actually reading it. He told us in this interview in America on a bullet train. And, you know, like a lot of great works of art, it was something that he couldn't get out of his mind. I have to say, I mean, I see the Holy Spirit as part of this, that, you know, the Holy Spirit, I think, kind of keeps these ideas in front of you. If it's something you can't get out of your mind, there's a sense of maybe God's calling me to do it. It's also a great story. He recognized it as a great story. And yes, and it brings up certain questions, as he said in the interview, of his own faith, you know, of what he called sort of stripping down of the faith, because, you know, this decision, which we're trying not to give away in terms of spoiler alerts, is a kind of stripping of away of the faith and a kind of focus purely on the relationship between the person, Father Rodriguez, and Jesus. And in the end, that's what it is to be a Jesuit. It's to be a companion of Jesus. And so I think he saw it as a good story, but I also think he saw it as a way to express some of the theological themes that he was struggling with. But frankly, I mean, I think one of the things that makes it so compelling to people is that it was his passion project. And perhaps if he had made it in a year, you know, he read the book and it came out and he wrote, you know, did it the year later, it wouldn't be so sort of mysterious. But I think the financial difficulties, the sort of legal difficulties, and then him trying to kind of get at the script, I think made it sort of such a long process. And, you know, funny enough, he went through several actors. He was telling me he went through originally Daniel Day-Lewis. Okay.
Because everybody wants to go to Lewis first.
Right. Big roles. Benicio Del Toro. Johnny Depp. Yeah, as Father Rodriguez. And okay. They kept getting older and older. And, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis.
As we all do.
Yeah, yes. I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis is probably now 60 years now, and he can't play the young Jesuit. And so, you know, he landed on, I thought, was a great cast. You know, it was funny, when we were in Rome.
Adam Driver, obviously committed to his role to lose so much weight. I mean, he really...
50 pounds or something like that.
Well, part of it was, you know, Andrew lost weight because, you know, they're supposed to look like they're, you know, they've been captured and they're on the run.
Yeah.
And Adam said somewhere that he was hallucinating during this one scene where they're at the shore because he was so. Yeah. One of the crew members told me that they would they filmed it in Taiwan, that when they would be on
country
set.
Country full of wonderful food, by the way.
When they were awful. Filming on set, people would bring on food for the staff, for the crew, like hamburgers and stuff, and there would be poor Andrew and Adam, you know, like smelling that
starving.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny. As the retreat went on, Andrew lost more and more weight, and he would come into our place at America House, and I would say, "Man, you know, you got to eat something, pal." But
not if you're going to play a guy who's penned up in a
they're very ascetical in terms of the exercises, which ironic. I mean, Ignatius asks the retreatant to fast, so. That's part of it, too.
The rules for eating are part of the spiritual exercise.
And I gave him that. So.
Yeah. This is also, I mean, Scorsese himself is a man of faith, and we've seen his own faith journey kind of play out throughout his career. You know, he has been almost preoccupied with these themes of redemption and conversion and so forth. Like, you know, they make much of the kind of Christo form imagery right. that's in a lot of his films. Right. And, you know, like in the right. death of Jack Nicholson at the end of The Departed.
And in Raging Bull.
And Raging yeah. Bull mm-hmm. and so forth. And so, like, how do you think that this fits in with his larger corpus?
That's a great question. You know, Matt, it was interesting as you were talking, I was thinking that recently, just in the past few weeks, I mean, he doesn't talk about this a lot, but recently there's been this sort of unleashing of it. So ours was the first interview, you know, online and in print. And then Civiltà Cattolica, which is a Italian publication by the Jesuits. And then Commonweal, I don't know if you saw that this weekend, had a very long interview with him where he was talking about these themes. And I think I would say this, that his corpus, I'm not a film scholar, but all of the films seem very Christocentric to me. All the films are working out these questions of faith, and there usually is some sort of Christological or Christ character in the films. What I find interesting is that now he's talking about it. It's as if that this movie has given him the permission to be open about it and not just leave it up to film scholars to say, oh, Jake LaMotta in that scene looks like Christ because X, Y, Z. He said in our interview, you know, like this is what I was doing in Mean Streets and this is Martin Scorsese, Harvey Keitel's character. And so in a sense, you know, I think what's great about this recent these recent few weeks is that film scholars and Scorsese fans, of which there are many, don't have to kind of speculate anymore. You know, they have the master's sort of response, which I actually find very refreshing. You know, so it's been a wonderful benefit that way, too.
Well, I'm going to have to go back and watch all those films and see if I can figure out how Travis Bickle is a Christ figure in Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
But that'll be a challenge. Certainly, there are a lot of people in desperate need of redemption in his films mm-hmm. who I guess are struggling for
it. Well, and also like doing things that they don't want to do. There's also that kind of Pauline imagery, too, and trying to work out their own faith. And this one character you talked about, which I think is the everyman character, which is this Kichijiro, or Kichijiro, I can't say it the Japanese way, is this person who continually fails. And he said in our interview, I know people who fail all the time like that. You know, that's the kind of, in a sense, the tragedy, you know, of some of his characters.
And we were very lucky. Well, you worked with some folks at the Gregorian University and with the production company to arrange for this screening for Jesuits in Rome, which was a wonderful evening. I think about 300 Jesuits attended.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Scorsese came, and there was a bit of a talk back afterwards, which was fascinating. Yeah. I think he was probably more nervous in a room full of 300 Jesuits asking him questions about this movie.
I don't know. What
he has
been
in any press conference in his life, but he did a really great job and yeah. was very generous of yeah. him.
The screenwriter, actually, Jay Cox, said that afterwards they had a papal audience. There was a papal audience.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about how that.
Well, yeah. I wasn't there, but what Jay said, which was interesting, was I thought that, I don't know if you saw this, Matt. He said that paled in comparison to the night before with the Jesuits. Scorsese. What happened was it was kind of interesting.
Well, with the Pope, he was just with one Jesuit. The night before, he was with 300.
That's so funny. That's right. That's right. Don't you have any other questions, Holy Father? Yeah, you know, what happened was interesting. His people said to me, we're going to have this Vatican screening, which turned out to be basically just a screening in the Vatican for some people. So it wasn't like cardinals and bishops. And I said, well, maybe we could invite the Jesuits, like our superior general and his staff. And then I thought, well, why don't they have a screening for the Jesuits? And so across the hall from us in America House, where our offices are, is Alan Fogarty, who's the head of the Pontifical, the Gregorian Foundation, which raises money for the Pontifical Universities in Rome. And I said, do you know of any good places where this could be? And he said, I have just the place. The Oriental Institute, called the Orientale, has just renovated this beautiful room called an aula in Italian. He literally, I don't know if I told you this, he literally picked up the phone, dialed the rector, and said, can we have a screening there? And the guy says, yes. And he said, what day? And I looked on my calendar. I said, November 29th. He said, fine. And I'm just like that. I got back to the Scorsese people. They said, fine. And so amazingly that all came through. I mean, you know, we were able to get the room. The Jesuits were available. Scorsese was available. And it was really very moving to hear particularly the questions from these Jesuits who have been thinking about these questions for their whole life. One of the most moving ones was Danny Huang. I'm sure you heard him at the end. Stood up. He's the regional assistant for Father General for Southeast Asia. He's a very well-known Jesuit there. And he stood up and said to Scorsese, you know, the Jesuits, in a sense, did some violence, too, by sort of bringing this sort of truth that they, you know, more or less imposed on people. And he said, I just wanted to sort of talk about that from my own context, you know, as an East Asian Jesuit. And Scorsese said to me afterwards, who was that? I have to get a copy of those comments. And his assistant said to me afterwards, he is, quote, I think I can say this, obsessed with that, those comments. So we got in the comments. And I said to him, you know, I mean, they've been thinking about this their whole lives, you know. And so I was so happy that not only we brought him into the sort of Jesuit world, but that he was able to screen his film for people who could really appreciate it.
So he'll be working on The Silence too now based on Neeson.
That's right. Taken, that's right, with Liam Neeson. Yeah. Taken in Japan.
We should also mention that Martin Scorsese's longtime collaborator, his editor, was there. Domhnall Schoonmaker, is that
exactly?
Her?
Yeah,
who is quite an interesting character. Yeah. I had, you know, it's so interesting. Somebody said to me, "Oh, you're going to meet the co-writer with Martin Scorsese of this film, and you're going to meet the editor." And of course, I have this kind of Hollywood stereotype in my mind. I didn't realize it was going to be the 76-year-old woman.
Yeah,
right. Who I was sitting in the same row as her, and I had one eye on the movie and I had one eye on her, watching her reaction to the film.
She's fascinating. She, you know, we went over as a team, American Magazine team, went over to his office to do a screening. And one of the people who was with us was Jose Dueño, who's a great young Jesuit. He's a film person. And I brought him back a week later to sort of go through Scorsese's archives and things like that. And he met Thelma. They gave him a big hug. And he said afterwards, you know, this is like a legend, you know, and she's just kind of this down. She's like your neighbor.
Like the second most Oscar-winning editor in Hollywood history.
And really does. I mean, if we think about that ocean crucifixion scene, that's a lot of that's her.
Right.
And in terms of how she cut it. But, you know, it's interesting, Matt. She was the one who was very intent when we were talking about having it at the Jesuit screening at the Orientale. I want them to see it the way it was meant to be seen. I want to have a good sound system. I want to have a good screen. So it wasn't just going to be some Jesuit with their DVD player and, you know, laptop, you know. And so they went, so they rented.
Well, they really do know Jesuits.
I was concerned about a couple things. One, no one would come. They'd say, I'm busy. Two, they'd all, halfway through, they'd say, I got to go. You know, I got to work on my homework. Or three, they'd all sort of come like dressed like slobs. Only three came true. But no. She wanted us to see it as it was meant to be seen, and they almost had it in a movie theater in Italy, which wouldn't have been as nice because she wanted kind of the sound system. But yeah, she's this legend, and they all are. All the people I've worked with are also totally down to earth, and I think that's one of the ways they get things done. They're open to suggestions, and when you say try this, they say good idea, and I think that's the mark of a confident artist. I remember one of your predecessors, George Hunt, said to me once, this is very similar, a good author is fine with being edited.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's probably, you could say the same thing about a good director or a good film editor.
I'm sure that's true. The film is called Silence by Martin Scorsese, and it is in theaters everywhere. Father Jim Martin, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Merry Christmas.
When we come back, we'll be joined by J.J. Wright, the composer who is at this moment working with the Sistine Chapel Choir. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.